I want us to lift up our hands for the next 2 minutes. Let's pray that we can. I want us to pray that we be filled with knowledge, the knowledge of Christ. And I want us to pray that anyone who enters this auditorium tonight will be filled with so much knowledge. By the time they go home, they'll go home as doers of the word of God, doers of the knowledge they have received. Lift up your hands. Lida hashke lebendo sida labako seke lebekosa. Mali boski telekoska ashinde lebekosa. Mali goski bolaboko shustele parada labako seke belebekosa. Andele ki bolaboko skipelebeko shokira bolaboko saya. Mandele ki bolaboko skipelebeko shakira bolaboko sandelebeko saya. Balido sendelebeko soki balabako shakira boloboko saya. Mandele bolobo shopi delebeko ski palabako sekere boloboko sakalabako saya. Maligo ski belebeko shokira boloboko saki palabako saya. Mandele ki bolobo ski palebeko shokira ba. Mandalabako shokira boloboko saki palabasatala. Mandeli vasite lebe rekoski palabako shokira balabaka saya. Bali volobo shandele belebeko soki palabako saya. Badili kabo sende lebeko shokira balabako saya. Bali da zende lebe koshka balaka saya. Maligoski balaboski paraski pelebeko sekere belebeko sande
brando lobo zinde
mandili balobo sondeli kabalaba shandele beko sa
ikolobo zebrento lobo zibi
maligoski balabako shokira balaboko saki palabaka saya
ikolobo zibidi bianto lobo zende melebe sendele bekando lobo zinde ibando lobo shanda brando lobo zinde iando lobo shande brando lobo zindi di bianta ibalaraba zinde brando lobo zinde ikolobo zibidi anto lobo zinde i palaraba sanda manda brando lobo zinde i paliko sanda mando zebete i kotolobo zinde i kando lobo zinde i bando lobo sanda mando zibrande i palaraba sanda banda rababo i palarabo sende rabados kabranta zabalaba bo sebete i palarabo sanda brando lobo se i palio sanda brando lobo se i bando lobo sanda brando i palarabo sende i ando lobo se i palarabo Sanda mando robosi, iando robosi, sanda mando robosi, i palarabo sende robosa, iando robosi, urianda mando robosi, sanda, i palarabo sanda mando robosi, i pando robosi, sanda mando robosi, iando robosi, sandi di bianca, i palarabo sanda mando robosi, i pando robosi, sandi di bi, iando robosi, urianda ba, mariando robosi, sanda ba, i pandaraba borianda, iando robosi, sanda mando robosi, i pando robosi, sanda pando robosi, i palarabo sanda Mando, I Pandorobo Sundibi, I Andorobo Sanda Bandorobo, Rapalo Sendebe, I Palarabo Sandaba, I Pandaraba Boriandaba, I Pandaraba Boriandaba, I Palaraba Sanda Mandorobo, I Andorobo Zundebe, I Pandorobo Sandaba, E Palarabo Sanda Mandorobo, I Andorobo Zuriande, Rapando Sebende,
Soki Pelebe,
Alaba Sanda Brandaraba Zunde, I Kandorobo Zinde, I Kosanda Mandorobo Zinde,
Maligo. It says that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful unto every good work. I want us to pray that in the name of Jesus, by the word of God that is coming tonight and the word of God that we have been sharing here, people will be fruitful unto every good work. Our World Changers Conference will raise up people who are fruitful unto every good work, or who will be fruitful unto every good work. Lift up your hands. Say after me, say, Lord, raise in World Changers Conference men and women who are fruitful unto every good work. Who are fruitful unto every good work. In the name of Jesus. Now lift up your voice and pray again. In the name of Jesus, Lagadosta, we speak into World Changers Conference. We declare over World Changers Conference as men and women are arising, who are fruitful unto every good work. In the name of Jesus,
Mandorobo Suriande, Iandorobo Sa,
Let his banner be raised. We will celebrate. Oh, let his banner be raised. We will celebrate.
We will celebrate our God.
Oh, like a sita la hasa.
We will celebrate our God. Let us bow.
Oh, speaking to me. Say, the word of God is God speaking to me. Say, I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. I'm seated where Christ is seated. Say, I'm a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Say that again. Say, I'm a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Shout a big hallelujah. Shall we all take our Bibles, open in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 to 10. We're going to start from verse 9 to 10. Last week I started talking about what the mind of Christ. And I just want to finish this. The Christ, the light, the sight tonight. And go into another place. Amen. Have you all opened our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10? Shall we all read together? 1, 2, go. Shout hallelujah. Shall we all be seated? What was the NIV? I would like you to shout it out loud quickly. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard the mind of Christ. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it any man conceived in his mind what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. Are you here? Tell somebody, get ready for the word. Tell the next person on your left, right, get ready for the word. So it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has any mind conceived what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. What the Lord has prepared for those who love him. So the Lord has prepared something for those who love him. It's important that when we get born again, we understand these things, these truths. It says, the Lord has prepared something for those who love him. Then it says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has any mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. It means that what God has prepared for those who love him is hidden to any eye, is hidden to any man. So no man, except you are born again, or except the person is born again, he doesn't know what God has prepared for those God loves. Those of us who love the Lord, those of us who are born again, we love the Lord. And those of us who are born again, God has prepared something for us. It's very important that we understand that God has prepared something for us. And that which he has prepared for us, it says, no eye has seen it, no ear has heard it. In other words, it means that the Christian is a privileged person. In other words, what the Christian knows, no eye knows it. No eyes has seen it. No eye has seen it. No ear has heard it. Neither has any mind conceived it. But he says, but he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So he tells us that by his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he has revealed unto us what no eye has seen. It means that we are on the advantage side. Why? Because we have come to that place, or we have received somebody in us who by reason of who he is, we have come to know what no eye knows, or what no eye has seen, or what no ear has heard, or what no mind knows. Are you following me? It means that there are things that no eye, no mind knows about that we know because we have received the Holy Ghost. He says, but he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. He has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. So by the Holy Ghost, we have received a revelation of what God has prepared for those who love him. What God has prepared for those who love him is concealed to those who are not, who don't, is concealed to those who are not born again, or those who don't love him. But it's revealed to us who love him. The things of God that are with the Holy Ghost have been revealed to us. But they've not been revealed to those who don't love him. It means that if we have received the revelation of the things of God, then it means that we are on where? We are on the advantage. It means our life is supposed to be much better than those who don't love him. Why? Because what they don't know, what is not revealed to them, is what has been revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. So what was not revealed, or what has not been revealed to those who are not born again, has been revealed to us. And he says that those things are the things that God has prepared. He is not preparing them. Listen, it's very important. Sometimes we take these scriptures as if, oh, I've read it over and over. I've read it over and over. But I think that sometimes when you study the word of God, you realize that the things that you think you've studied, there is much to read than what you've seen before. And last week I was saying it here. And the Holy Ghost unveils to you the same truth over and over again and gives you deeper insight into that same truth. Why? Because if he tells us that God has prepared something for us who love him, what does that tell us? It tells us we have just been called into a meeting where, or into a gathering where things have already been prepared. It is up to us now to take, lay hold, know what has been prepared for us and manifest it. But then it says, he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It means that we have received the Holy Ghost and we have received a revelation by reason of the Holy Ghost in us. We have received a revelation of what God has prepared for those who love him. Say, God has prepared something for me. So when we get born again and we enter into church, say, we are born again. We are born again. We have entered into what God has prepared already for us. Shout hallelujah. He is not going to prepare something for us. He has already prepared something for us. And he has given us the Holy Ghost to show us. Number one, to bring those things to us. Number two, to show us what he has done, what he has prepared for us. Shout hallelujah. And let's go to verse 14. Verse 12 first, then we go to verse 14. I just want to start from this place. Amen. Verse 12. Are we all open to verse 12? Are we all open to verse 12? Shall we all read together? One, two, go. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, he tells us the kind of Spirit we have received. And he tells us, you see, what the Word of God says is true. The Bible says, let God be true, let everyone be a liar. Shout hallelujah. So, he says that we have not received the Spirit which is of this world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That tells us that there are things that are freely given to us of God. That we can be those who God has given things freely to. But we might not know the things that he has freely given to us. So you can receive the Holy Ghost. You have received the things of God and not know the things you have received. Do you understand what I said? You can receive the Holy Ghost and not know the things that you have received. The things of God that you have received. So, it says, we have received not the spirit of this world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God. So that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, what do you say? You say, I've received the Holy Ghost. Now, I can know the things that are freely given to us of God. Look as I tell the person, there are things that are freely given to us of God. Then tell the person, God has given us the Holy Ghost. So that we can know the things that are freely given to us. So the Holy Ghost that we have received into us is inside us to teach us, to make us know the things that are freely given to us of God in their various levels, in their various dimensions. The things that are freely given to us of God. It means that there is a special operation of the Holy Ghost in the Christian that enables the Christian to know the things that God has freely given to him or her. It's a ministry of the Holy Ghost. It's a work of the Holy Ghost inside of us. It's a work of the Holy Ghost inside of us. So that we can know the things that are freely given to us of God. So if you have received the Holy Ghost, now through the Holy Ghost, you can know these things. Why is it important for us to know the things that are freely given to us of God? Why is it important for God to even prepare things for us? Why is it important? You can help me. Why is it important for God to prepare things for us? Why is it important for God to give us the Holy Ghost? So that we can know these things that he has prepared for us. He says the things that he has freely given to us. Why is it important that we know the things that God has freely given to us through the Holy Ghost? It means that there are the things of God that he wants the Christian to experience and to enjoy. They are the things of God. God wants us to enjoy his things. And those things are not hidden to the Christian because they are not hidden to the Holy Ghost. And once he has given us the Holy Ghost, he has given us the Holy Ghost so that the things that are freely given to us of God, we can know. Not just know, but to experience. Not just experience, but to enjoy these things that are freely given to us of God. Shout hallelujah. And let's go to verse 14. Verse 14 quickly. Remember us open verse 14. Have you opened verse 14? Shall we read it together? One, two, go. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Listen, I'm trying to just strike a difference between us and the natural man. And I want you to know what God has given to you and why it's important that you lay hold on this thing by knowing it and make use of it. It's very important. The natural man. The natural man means the one who is not born again. What did I say today? The natural man are those who are not born again. I was telling him something today, and I said that many Christians are more carnal than the natural man. And as I explain, I'll explain to you why I said that to him. You see, so he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. In other words, the natural man cannot understand the things of God. It takes the one who is born again to know and understand the things of God. Why? Who can answer me? Because of the Holy Ghost. But the natural man cannot receive the things of God. Why is Paul talking to us like this? Because he's trying to draw attention to what we have, by which we are on the advantage. He says, the natural man does not receive or cannot receive anything that is of God. The natural man, the one who is not born again. He says, they are foolishness unto him. It means that they don't make any sense. They don't make any spiritual sense. He doesn't understand what is going on. The natural man. But we have an opportunity, a privilege, that the natural man or natural men do not have. We Christians have a privilege. We've been given a privilege by God through the Holy Ghost to know the things of God that the natural men or that natural men do not know and cannot receive. For the natural man receiveth not the things of God, the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Neither can the natural man know them. The things of God are not known to the natural man. They are concealed, hidden to the natural man. But the things of God are known to us through the Holy Ghost. They are revealed to us through the Holy Ghost. We know the things of God through the Holy Ghost. The natural man does not know the things of God. But the Christian knows the things of God. Shout hallelujah. So, when we come to know the things of God, we are supposed to begin to experience these things. It's very important that we don't take for granted the things that God has freely given to us. It's very important we don't take for granted the Holy Ghost also who is in us to make us know. So, if we don't put value on the Holy Ghost, it means that we wouldn't know the things that God has given to us, even though he has freely given them to us. It takes the Holy Ghost for us to know. It is not just saying, oh, I have the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. It is good to speak in tongues. But it's going further, knowing that there are the things of God that you ought to know, to understand, to assess, God has given them to us for our benefit. But the natural man or the natural men do not have it. I don't know whether you are following what I'm saying. Because it's very important that we do not take for granted the things that God has given to us. He gave them to us. He did not give them to anybody apart from those who are born again. And he gave us the Holy Ghost for us to also know, to receive the things of God and to know. The natural man cannot receive the things of God, and the natural man cannot know the things of God because the natural man does not have the Holy Ghost. But we have the Holy Ghost. And it's very important. This thing I'm sharing is very important. Sometimes when I'm teaching certain things are very important. Certain things I teach, sometimes they are very important. Sometimes I see that people see other ones, say this one is powerful, this one is powerful. But rather that this one is more powerful. Shout hallelujah. So it says that the one who is not born again, then says that because these things are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually understood. They are spiritually discerned. It means that when a person is born again, he has a major privilege. Now, that means that we can spiritually discern spiritual things because we are born again through the Holy Ghost. The Christian can spiritually discern spiritual things. You cannot know spiritual things until you're able to discern them. And when I talk about discerning, I'm not talking about there is a gift of discerning of spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. Shout hallelujah. To discern them means to be able to perceive by your spiritual senses. To be able to perceive. To be able to assess and understand. Shout hallelujah. For instance, you're able to assess and understand what being born again is. Being born again to you is not that, oh, I'm now a Christian. Thank God I'm now a Christian. No. You begin to understand what it means when you are born again. You're able to know and assess such an understanding. Spiritually. The one who is not born again, who is a natural man, cannot understand that. That is why when Jesus told Nicodemus, he says, a man must be born again. He says, at this my age, should I enter into my mother's womb? Why? He was a natural man. He could not comprehend. He could not have an understanding. It did not make any spiritual meaning to him. Do you get what I'm saying? But we understand. We know what it means to be born again. It makes meaning to us. When we say we are born again, we have a spiritual meaning to what we are saying. When we say, oh, I'm born again. But the one who is not born again, it doesn't make any spiritual meaning to him, like Nicodemus. A man must be born again. I should go back to my mother's womb. For what? What do you mean? Jesus said, he that is born of flesh is flesh. He that is born of spirit is spirit. He was more confused. So he says, they are foolishness unto him. They are what? Foolishness unto him. But what is foolishness to the natural man is wisdom to the Christian. Spiritually discern. Now, how do we spiritually discern these things? How? How do we spiritually discern the things of God that are in us? How do we spiritually discern the things of God that are in us? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Ladi goski balahashka. Spiritual discernment. So, because they are spiritually discerned, it means that the spiritual person has spiritual discernment. The one who is born again, who is spiritual, is able to spiritually discern. That is why it says the spiritual man judges all things. Oh, hallelujah. It means that when it says the spiritual man judges all things, it means that the spiritual man is able to examine all things spiritually. He is able to actually weigh all things spiritually. Oh, la God is settled here. So he says the spiritual man judges all things, but he himself is judge of no one. He's able to sit down and examine things spiritually. He's able to scrutinize things spiritually. He's able to look at the situation at hand and what it actually means to the Christian. So you say, oh, I find myself in this situation, I find myself in this predicament. The spiritual person looks at the situation and looks at what he can do about the situation by reason of what he knows from the Holy Ghost, the things of God. He's able to examine whatever you are telling him or whatever is happening in his life, and he's able to know spiritually how to handle it spiritually. See, there are many Christians who handle issues naturally. How many of you know that? Many Christians who handle every issue that comes their way, they handle it naturally. Many Christians who think that Christianity is just natural, let's just do natural things, all we need is just finish this work and go to heaven. So they are just moving natural, everything is natural. But it says no, the spiritual person does what? Examine. He's able to examine things from a spiritual perspective. Oh, Jesus. Are you following me? The spiritual person is able to do what? Examine things from a spiritual perspective. The spiritual person comes from a spiritual angle, looks at things. Laki telebe soshto. Oh, liga soshto lebaroko sata. Libo koski palahasi kerebe kosa. Livondo siti likirabo kosa. Are you following me? So, the one who is spiritual is able to examine things spiritually. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when you are not able to examine things spiritually, you take anything that comes into your life, you handle it from a natural perspective. Anything you find yourself in, you handle it from a natural perspective. But when you're able to examine things spiritually, you handle it from a spiritual perspective. That is, handling life issues or living from a spiritual perspective. And there is living from a natural perspective and handling things from a natural perspective. Shout hallelujah. Because you see, one day, when the Israelites were going to cross the Red Sea, when they reached where the Red Sea was, the Bible says that Moses was crying out to God again. And God said, Moses, why are you crying out to me? Stretch forth your God. And the Bible says that the Red Sea parted into two. Why? All the Israelites who were with him thought that, oh, we're going to die. The Egyptian army is coming. They are going to kill us and all of that. They were seeing things from a natural perspective. So they said, oh, they will kill us. They will destroy us. Moses, why have you brought us here? To die. Why? They were handling what was the issue at hand at that particular time naturally. Because they were what? Natural men. But God instructed Moses. Say, Moses, stretch forth your God. Don't look at me again. You see, when David was going to fight Goliath, all of them were looking at, oh, Goliath, the man has fought for 20 years. You are only 17 years. What can you do? Why? They were seeing what was happening from a natural perspective. They were looking at how the guy was a giant and how he had fought all throughout his life. And said, ah, this small boy, what can you do? But what did Moses say? I was tending my father's sheep. I met a lion. I dealt with him. Met a bear. Dealt with him. This man is small. Why? From a spiritual perspective. He was able to examine what the people were seeing and they were afraid of and running away. He was able to. So he said the spiritual man judges all things. He's able to examine things. What people say, oh, this will lead to death. The spiritual man says, no. Do you know what Jesus said? He says that Lazarus is asleep. Let's go and wake him up. That's the spiritual man. Shout hallelujah. So, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. So, he cannot judge things spiritually. But the Christian, the spiritual man, receives the things of the Spirit and knows the things of the Spirit. And because of that, he's able to judge things. He's able to judge things. Shout hallelujah. Then I said that when he talks about spiritual discernment, he's talking about what? What does it mean? Discernment. Oh, you won't talk back to me. Ability to perceive by spiritual sight. Perceive by spiritual sight. See, there is the operation of the Holy Ghost inside of us. When you read the scriptures, it talks about seven dimensions of the operations, the work of the Holy Ghost inside of us, of the ministry of the Holy Ghost inside of us. Go to Isaiah 11, 2 quickly. Let me explain this one and then move forward. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. I want you to follow me. I'll not be talking for much today, tonight. I want you to follow me closely. I want to show you something. Hallelujah. Who has Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2? Who has it right now? Anybody at the back? Anybody at the back? Isaiah 11. Mm-hmm. Who is reading? One, two, go. Who is reading? Isaiah 11 verse what? You are reading verse 4. I just want the verse 2. Yeah. Shout hallelujah. So, what is he talking about? It is called the seven spirits of God. Write it down. Seven spirits of God. Seven spirits of God. There. It talks about the spirit of the Lord will rest on him. I don't have time to go into that, but I'll just explain simply and then we continue. The spirit of the Lord will do what? Will rest on him. What is the next? The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of understanding. The spirit of counsel. The spirit of might or power. Then the spirit of knowledge. Then the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Those are we call them the seven spirits of the Lord. Seven spirits. Write it down. The seven spirits. Then write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Write them there. One day we'll take our time and explain what actually all of them mean. Seven spirits of God. Seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God. Those seven spirits of God. The first one. The spirit of the Lord. It says the spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The first one is the spirit of the Lord. Now, what it actually means is not that there are seven kinds of spirits. No. What it actually means is that those are the seven ways through which the Holy Ghost performs his ministry in the Christian. There are seven ways through which the Holy Ghost performs his ministry. It means that there is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. There is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. It's very important you can write it down that there is the ministry of the Holy Ghost in us, in the Christian. The Holy Ghost is inside you, but there is his ministry. That actually means that ministry means to serve. So there is a service that he renders inside the Christian. Am I going fast? There is the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the Christian. The ministry of the Holy Ghost in the Christian. And those are the seven ways through which the Holy Ghost performs his ministry, his work in the Christian. Seven ways through which the Holy Ghost performs his ministry in the Christian. So the Holy Ghost has come to dwell the Christian or indwell the Christian to perform certain ministry in the Christian. How many of you understand? Well, are you hungry tonight? Shout hallelujah. So, seven ways seven ways, and it mentions the Spirit of the Lord will rest on, because the Spirit of the Lord is first. Because we call them the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, comes from God. It's the presence of God in the Christian. So as an individual, he is there. Then he has other functions, apart from the fact that he is the Spirit of God in us. So I say it every time, the Holy Ghost has come to dwell, indwell us on behalf of God, with the presence of God. And that is a ministry on its own. To carry the presence of God into the Christian is a ministry on its own. The knowledge that the Holy Ghost is the presence of God in you gives you a lot of rest. But then he performs seven functions of ministry in the Christian. Now, Paul prays that he performs three of the seven in the Christian. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Let me explain. How, when he talks about spiritual discernment, or how the spiritual things are spiritually discerned, he's talking about the operations of the Holy Ghost in us that enables us to assess the things of God. To know and to assess the things of God. And then Paul prays to the whole church, Ephesians, and to the whole church in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17, concerning that. Three of them to work mightily in the church. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17, quickly. Quickly, Obed, quickly. Today, Obed, you've not read.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Uh-huh. I'm reading from the King James Version.
Uh-huh.
Wherefore I also,
uh-huh,
after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus,
uh-huh,
and love unto all the saints,
uh-huh,
cease not to give thanks for you,
uh-huh,
making mention of you in my prayers.
Look at how Paul was praying for the church. Not that they will get things. No, Paul was not praying that the church will get things. Cease not to give thanks to God and to making mention of you in my prayers. So he was mentioning the church, Ephesians. I'm praying for the church in Ephesus. Look at his prayer, the content of his prayer.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory,
uh-huh,
may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. And revelation. In the knowledge of him.
Shout hallelujah. Now, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. See, when you read Ephesians chapter 3, it talks about that we be strengthened with might by his spirit in our inward man. How many of you have heard that? That is the spirit of might. That is also an operation of the Holy Ghost in the Christian. To strengthen the Christian with mind, with power. When you read, I think Colossians chapter 1, it talks about that we'll be strengthened with mind unto all patience, long suffering with joy, that we'll be strengthened with mind, so that you are going through something, but you are strong. You have strength inside of you. You know that this thing, it will end like this. Why? You have strength. You are not hiding. You say, no, this is how it's going to end. So he talks about that we be strengthened with mind unto all long suffering, with patience and with joy. That is also an operation. That's what it means when we read Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, and it talks about the spirit of what? Of power and of mind. But at this particular time, Paul is praying for a special operation of the Holy Ghost in the church. When it says the Father of God may give unto you, it doesn't mean that God is now coming to give them. No. God has given them the Holy Ghost. Paul was praying that God will grant them, or will enable the Holy Ghost to function inside of them in that particular way. In a way that they will be filled with the knowledge of Christ in wisdom and in revelation. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the spirit of wisdom. Or one major ministry of the Holy Ghost inside of us is to give us wisdom. So because that is his operation inside of us, that aspect is called the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. It says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's the spirit of understanding. Are you following me? So Colossians tells us that will be filled with knowledge in all understanding. There is the spirit of understanding. There is the spirit of revelation. There is the spirit of wisdom. All by the Holy Ghost, operating inside the Christian by the Holy Ghost. It is through that spirit of revelation and wisdom and understanding that you have spiritual discernment. And I said that it's different from when we talk about the gifts of the spirit and we talk about the gift of discerning of spirit. Gift of discerning of spirit is different. This time it's talking about spiritual understanding. It's talking about being able to perceive spiritual things from the inside of you. Being able to perceive the things of God spiritually. To know and to assess them. I said something last time when I was talking about Christ, the light and the sight, and I talked about how I said we can know the things of God. We can know God by sight, spiritual sight. It's called spiritual discernment. And it tells us that the things of God have been given to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has come to dwell inside of us with those things. But it takes this operation for us to really know and understand. It's very important. Are you following me? It takes this operation of the Holy Ghost inside of us. It takes his ministry in these three ways inside of us for us to be able to assess and know the things that are given to us. Paul calls them the spirit of wisdom. Number one, the spirit of revelation. The spirit of wisdom means that the spirit of insight. The spirit of revelation means that it's an operation where the knowledge of Christ, the things of Christ are unveiled to the Christian from the inside by the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? So the Holy Ghost on the inside of you unveils to you, opens you up to the things of God. Why? The Holy Ghost is inside you with all the things of God. But there is an operation of the Holy Ghost where he unveils unto us these things, one after the other. He unveils unto us on the inside. How important this Holy Ghost is. It means that you can be born again, receive the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, do other things. Until the spirit of revelation is working in you, the Holy Ghost cannot unveil to you the things of God that are with you in the Holy Ghost. To unveil, to open up, to uncover. It's covered and then he does what? Uncovers it. Are you following? It's an operation of the Holy Ghost. He calls that the spirit of revelation. It's an operation inside of us. But because, see, these things, sometimes we say, let us pray. We pray. The spirit of wisdom will rest on us. The spirit of revelation. We are going and coming. Sometimes we open the scriptures. We read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. But why I'm interested tonight in this thing is because last week I said it is as if many Christians, we have the Holy Ghost in us. We have the Holy Ghost in us. Yet they are doing nothing with the Holy Ghost. They don't know the Holy Ghost they have in them. They have received the Holy Ghost, all right. But most of them don't know the Holy Ghost they have received. In the same way, we take these scriptures, Ephesians chapter 1, the eyes of understanding will be lighted up, all of that, the spirit of wisdom. But then you would realize that the spirit of revelation, even though the Holy Ghost is there, the spirit of revelation is not actually working in many Christians. So they will choose the natural way of accomplishing something than choose the spiritual way of accomplishing something. Why? Because the spirit of revelation working in you enables the Holy Ghost to unveil to you the things of God. He unveils them to you. The spirit of wisdom enables the Holy Ghost to give you insight into the things of God. To make you go deeper into the things of God. You're able to see into the things of God from your inside. Why? The spirit of God unveils them to you. He unveils them. He gives you insight into a particular scripture. For instance, we say when you are born again, the person who came into the room and the person who gets born again and is living are two different people. That is insight. We say when somebody is born again, when he comes into the room and they say, who wants to be born again? He gets born again. The one who got born again, the one who came into the room, and the one who got born again and is leaving the room are two different people. Yet the one who does not have insight will say, oh, it's the same person. He may even be a Christian. He will say, it's the same person. We know him. We know this guy. His name is Obed. We know him. He lives here and all of that. We say, oh, the person who is born again lives in Christ. You say, oh, no, he lives in Adenta. We say, no, he lives in Christ. Say, ah, what do you mean by he lives in Christ? Christ lives in him. So he's living in Christ. He is the house of Christ. You can be born again and you cannot have, and you may not have received this insight. That's what I'm talking about. So it takes the Holy Ghost to unveil to you. You say, oh, you meet people, you say, oh, I live at Adenta, I live at Adenta. But inside of you, you know that as you enter your office, you are entering as somebody who lives in Christ. And you enter with Christ, and you say, I've entered this office with Christ. Anything can change now. Why? Because it's inside. You've been able to see into who you are, as shown you by the Holy Ghost. Until the Holy Ghost operates like that inside of you, your Christian life will not be fruitful. Why? The scriptures tell us that it takes knowledge for the Christian to bear fruit, being fruitful unto every good work. Colossians chapter 1, I think verse 9, reading down. Being fruitful, fertile, productive unto every good work. You cannot be fruitful, you cannot be fertile and productive unto every good work if the spirit of insight and revelation is not working in you. The things that a man of God may say like this may not make any sense to you, but you are born again. He says the natural man sees that as foolishness. But the one who is born again, who sees that as foolishness, what do we call him? He's a carnal person. So they say, ah, what do you mean by the person who is born again? He just came into the room, he's got born again, he has become another person. What do you mean? If any man be in Christ, he's a new kind of person. Say, what do you mean by he's a new kind of person? We know him. He used to even, when he has got, it's true, we know that we say that he has now, he comes to church and he's serious and he's born again and all of that. But we know that the same things he used to do, he's still doing them. Then we say, ah, if he does the same things he does, it means that he's not born again. The natural man does not understand that. They think the person must begin to do good before we can now say he's born again. They don't know the person must be born again to understand these things, now to live good. Doing good is not being born again, but when you are born again, you will do good. He says, for we are his workmanship, created unto good works. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the one who is not born again does not understand these things. But if you are also born again, you have the Holy Ghost and the spirit of wisdom and revelation is not working in you. This kind of operation, ministry of the Holy Ghost, is not at work inside of you. You begin to behave and understand things and talk and react like a natural man. We say faith is acting as Christ. If faith is acting as Christ, we say speak to things. Speak to things. We want something that can change something. We say speak. You understand? We want something that can change. You say speak. God is speaking. Do something. Do something. You understand? The carnal Christian. But when the spirit of insight is working in you and revelation, then the Holy Ghost gives you sight into the things of God. The things that before you got born again you thought were not possible. You said, no, this is possible. The people some are born again, they don't have this operation of the Holy Ghost inside of them. They say, oh, you are making a mistake. You, this guy, are making a mistake. See, we got born again 20 years ago. We know things. We've been this, we've been that. I'm even a pastor for 35 years and all of that. This is youthful exuberance. Leave them. Youthful exuberance. They've forgotten that Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example. In faith and in word and in purity, be an example. There is no youthful exuberance. Be on fire. Don't mind anybody with his youthful exuberance. But you see, there is a spirit of insight. That's what I want you to know. I'll give you a perfect example very soon. Let me close. And the spirit of revelation and unveiling. It's like there are things in this room. They've closed the door. The Holy Ghost opens the door. You come inside. You see what is there. You see today, you see air condition. The next day, he opens the door again. You see a camera stand. Opens the door again. You see a microphone. There are things in the room, but he's unveiling you. You understand? He's unveiling to you these things. He's unveiling to you these things. The Holy Ghost. That is the spirit of revelation. After he has unveiled these things to you, you now know a microphone is used for speaking. You know this camera stand, we put camera on it. That is insight. You come to realize that we use a laptop for this in the room. That is insight. That is an operation of the Holy Ghost inside of you, giving you, granting you insight, granting the church insight. Paul says that when that happens, then in the knowledge of Christ, then the eyes of the understanding will be lighted up, and then they will know these things. If that is not happening, you don't know anything. So there are a lot of Christians, these operations are not taking place inside of them. All they do is just go to church, come back from church, greet friends. They will say, "Chiao, mame, mame." They say, "Oh, amen." Many Christians, thank God you are here tonight. Hallelujah. The spirit of wisdom. This is something you don't know what it means. When the Holy Ghost shows you, you are struggling with something, you are struggling, you're like, this thing. The Holy Ghost gives you insight into the Word of God. You meet that thing again, it becomes small. Because you begin to see that situation from a different eye, from a different perspective, from an inside perspective. Insight. From the perspective of revelation. Shout hallelujah. People are rushing here and there. What do we do? If you've not listened to our podcast, go and listen to the podcast. It says what you need to do is in the Word of God. What you need to do. Some of the people say, What do we do? I'm even confused. No, you are only confused. You are not confused, you are ignorant. When you have insight, what do you do? You will know what to do, because what you need to do is in the Word. And it takes the Holy Ghost to give you insight into the Word and unveil more of the Word of God. Last week I said it here. Yeah, the Holy Ghost unveils something about new birth today. The next week, he unveils much more deeper things about the new birth. Even in that only particular scripture. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it's important that we encourage this ministry of the Holy Ghost inside us. It's not to come and sit down and listen to word. No. Encourage the ministry of the Holy Ghost inside of you in this particular way. Where you have insight. Where you have revelation. The more that you grow in insight and revelation, the more the things that you see as big before you become small. Because you attack them from a God perspective. Not from a human perspective. Go to 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me just explain something there. I'm using that one as a perfect example. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Bali kalabasete lebeko sandalabaha. Oli voshombo lohosita laba. Maliga sondalabaha. Have you all opened? 2 Timothy chapter 1. God most high. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. Have we all opened? Have we all opened? I want Obed to read it. I want you to look into the scriptures. Look into the scriptures. Behold what he is reading. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Read it, Obed, quickly.
2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. Who hath saved us?
Who has saved us?
And called us with an holy calling.
And called us with an holy calling. Number one, he has saved us. He has called us with an holy calling.
Not according to our works.
Not according to our works. So he did not save and call us according to our works.
But according to his own purpose and grace.
But according to his own purpose. So the Christian has been saved and called according to God's purpose. But it's unfortunate that many Christians don't live this purpose. According to his own purpose. Continue. Obed.
Which was given us in Christ Jesus.
The purpose was given us in Christ Jesus.
Before the world began.
Before the world began. Is that not powerful? It's powerful. Predestinate, we'll talk about that. Okay, continue.
But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ.
But it's now made manifest by the appearing of what? Our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, before you go to the next one, listen. I'm still giving an example of insight. Hallelujah. And revelation. Apocalypse. But you see, there are many Christians who think that when a person dies, then they begin to give a lot of meanings. A lot of Christians. They'll say, oh, maybe if he had lived, we wouldn't know what he would have turned into. So, God knows best. What God knows best is in the Word. Listen very carefully. I want to show you something. It's very important. I believe that the Word of God is God speaking to me. And it's for my benefit. When you watch the podcast, I said something. I said, in any area of your life that you lack the Word of God, that Word cannot work for you. If you have not listened to the podcast, go and listen to it. To shock you. If you also listen to it like, oh, there is Papa Smith, let's just listen, relax. You won't get anything. Okay, listen. But there are many people who think that way. That when a Christian dies, maybe God knows best and all of that. But that is not what the scriptures tell us. That when a person dies, just God, maybe God knows best. And sometimes they say, oh, God is the one who gives and he has taken away. And a whole lot of meanings. Everybody wants to, in one point or the other, give some meaning to, oh, why this person has died or why a person dies. But none of the meanings make spiritual wisdom. You can only give meanings to all of that through the Word of God. Until you know this truth, it will not work for you. It says, for they know not, neither do they understand. They do not know. But I have said, ye are gods. That was in the Old Testament. Then it says, and all of you are what? Are sons or children of the Most High. Then he said, but you shall die like men. What to make them die like men? Because they know not. And because they do not understand. Not because God has not called them gods. He has. So that people, when you don't understand this, you say, oh, maybe God knows best. And God is not knowing any best. What God knows best, he has released it into the Word. You can know what God knows best. In quote, what God knows best. Through the Word of God. And performing these functions, explain these things in you. Then you tell yourself, I cannot be part of this thing. You say, ah. People say, oh, this guy is too no living. It is important that you boast with the Word of God than to be ashamed of the Word of God. Experience of the Word of God don't come first. This, when you boast in the Word, then the experience comes. People want to first experience the Word and they can now shout, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. No. We don't shout, praise the Lord. Some of us, we don't shout, praise the Lord because we experience the Word. We shout, praise the Lord because God has said that and we have seen it. And we jump around with it. Then as we do that, the experience takes place. The Holy Ghost begins to work out the Word through you. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Continue, Obed.
Who had abolished death?
Then it says, who has abolished death
and had brought life
and
immortality
to light
through the gospel.
Oh, Dalaman Sotaya. Now listen, have you all opened that place? I want us to take that particular place. Who has brought death? 1, 2, go. Through the gospel. Through what?
The gospel.
So, he has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light. Then it says, how? Through the gospel. What has the gospel given us? The gospel has given us life and immortality. The gospel has shown us that Christ Jesus came and he has abolished death. He did not explain what kind of death. So that you can say that, oh, he said he abolished death by this one, but he didn't abolish death by this one. That's not what he said. The word abolish death means to render powerless. Write it down. I'm showing you certain, so I'm talking about the Holy Ghost operating in you through insight and revelation. And why some Christians, this scripture, for instance, they will say, oh, I know it's there, but you see, it doesn't belong to us. They know it's there, but you see, these ones are, then they leave it. No. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's what? That proceeds. So, we live by the word. We don't live by what we hear. We don't live by hearsay. We don't live by the information on the media. We live by... That is the Christian. Because the Christian is born by the word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Then the Christian lives by the word of God. The word. What regulates your understanding, your thoughts, your actions, must be the word of God. You didn't get what I said. What should regulate you? What should rule you? Is the word of God. Not what people say. That is why it's important that you study the word of God for yourself. Study to show yourself approved. A workman. So if you don't study to show yourself approved and you are ignorant, you will be disapproved. Do you know what that means? It means that when things strike, you cannot do anything. You don't have the light to do things. It says that who has brought life and immortality through the gospel. The gospel has given us life. The gospel has given us immortality. It is not a fairy tale. It is the truth. And it takes the insight of the Holy Ghost to know what he's talking about. It takes an unveiling of the Holy Ghost. This scripture. The Holy Ghost takes the scripture and opens you up to the scripture. This is what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost tells you. He tells me, this is what I'm talking about. I'm saying that I have abolished death. I have rendered death powerless. The word abolish death means to render powerless, to render useless, to make impotent. I thought you'd be writing it down. You're just looking at me. You are missing the whole thing. Write it down. I want to explain something. It's very important. Who has abolished death? He has rendered death impotent. When it comes to the Christian. So when death is coming to the whole house, or the spirit of death is coming to the whole house and it comes to meet you there, you are not part of it. He goes to another person. You don't even have to pray. He will go on his own. Why? Because you are exempted from his claws. It says, who has abolished death? He has made death impotent. He has made death useless. Without effect. When you take a drug and it's without effect, it means that it won't produce any results. Meboa. Mr. Meboa. Hallelujah. So he says he has... Are you following me? Yes. We are following. Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So he says that he has abolished death. He has made death useless. It doesn't matter where death comes from. Whether by food, poison, or by accident. He has made death... Somebody say, oh, we know about this woman of God. He was very powerful. And one day, she was traveling and there was a plane crash and they all died. That is not our concern. Our concern is that the word of God says he has abolished death. As long as I am... Oh, Jesus Christ. Whether it is by accident or by food poisoning, he has made death useless, ineffective, impotent, without power over. So death does not have power over the Christian on any grounds. That is why it's important. Last week I took my time to explain to you the Holy Ghost. You don't know what the Holy Ghost can do in your life through this scripture. Because when he unveils this scripture to you and gives you insight into this scripture over and over again, when it comes to the operation of the same word inside of you, the Holy Ghost takes over. Jesus Christ said, when it comes to the operation of the same word that you know inside of you, the Holy Ghost takes over. Shout hallelujah. So he says he has abolished death. He has rendered powerless death. All manner of deaths. Whether it is by this or by that. Any death you can conceive right now. You think that, oh, maybe by this one. Hey, how do people die? By this one, by this one, by this one. Anyhow they die. He says he has made death what? Powerless. When we say something is powerless, it's without power. It's without effect. It means that death's authority over the Christian. You say, I had a dream, and somebody says that you will die in the next 3 days. I had a dream, and some people were chasing me. They said they will kill me. They will do what? When you wake up, you tell yourself, all those people who say they will kill you, they're already dead. Why? The Christian has authority over death. Death cannot do what? Usurp power over the Christian. That also means that the Christian has control over death. It is only the Christian who has control. Through the gospel, not through prince. Through what? The gospel. So Jesus said, this sign shall follow them that believe. He says, in my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. He says, these are the signs. It's like a signboard. This is how we get to know that this is a Christian coming. This is how we get to know this is a Christian coming. Not because he wears good suit. Labatosi Kalahasa. Not because he wears good suit. No, he says, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall do what? They shall speak with new tongues. So today we say, Makota, Makota, Makota. They shall speak, and we are speaking. The same way we speak, that's the same way it says we should cast out, is the same sign. Casting out and speaking is the same. Shout hallelujah. Then he made a remarkable statement that has shocked all scholars and theologians up to now. And he said, and if they shall take any deadly thing, he said, it shall not hurt them. Listen. It says, do you know what it means? Simple. Let me explain what it means. It means, it says, if they shall take anything with death, anything they take with death, it shall not hurt them. Why? Because the power of death has been what? Has been abolished. So if that thing contains death, you say, oh, death, oh, relax, relax, relax. This is the truth that can make you live. See, the power of this truth can make you live to the point to when you decide that now I'm leaving this earth. See, God doesn't want us to leave this earth out of stress, out of pain, out of suicide, out of sicknesses and diseases. I've said it like over and over that sickness and disease are enemies of God. And so they are enemies of the Christian. God will not give you sickness to punish you or to show you a lesson. If God wants to show you a lesson, he will show you from his word. You didn't hear what I said. If God wants to show you a lesson, he will do what? He will show you from his word. By his spirit. Operating with insight and revelation. But he wouldn't teach you a lesson with sickness. No human being would want to see his child sick, lying down. Unable to go to school and go to work. Just because he's teaching the child a lesson. What lesson is that? Think about it. You want your child, you've given birth to a child, or your sister at home, or your brother at home, you will want to teach your brother a lesson by afflicting your brother with sickness? No. If human beings won't do that, God won't do that. But it says that he has abolished death, and he has brought life. Life there means the God kind of life. So, he says, if they shall take any deadly thing, anything that contains death, it shall not hurt them. Jesus said that too. You say, oh, Pastor Prince said it. No, Jesus said it. Pastor Prince saw it. He believed it. He says, this is the truth. You say, oh, we are in a plane. You have a plane. There are people who sit there. What are you afraid of? of death. The Bible says, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. People live in fear of death. If you are in a plane, all you know is that death has been abolished. You carry the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can carry you from a plane crash like this and bring you here. The Holy Ghost. That's the last thing I was worried about. Why? He carried Philip like this. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. When his children went to look for him, he was no longer there. You understand? The Holy Ghost can carry you out of any accident. You know, you have this understanding, this insight. They say there is accident. There is accident. There is accident. You say, Holy Ghost, I'm out of here. Why? You know, that is why I've told you that sit down with the Holy Ghost. Don't make it a topic, Holy Ghost, oh, Holy Ghost. We enjoy the Holy Ghost. No. Sit down with the Holy Ghost. Let him carry you out of accident. There are people who can teach the Holy Ghost, but they don't know him. There are people that even any step they take, Holy Ghost is not involved. They say, God has given us enough brains. You meet people like that? Nobody has said, don't use your brains. That they say, oh, God has given us enough brains, so we can use our brains. All this Holy Ghost thing, we would be delaying. Let's do this thing quick, quick, quick. One great man of God said, without the Holy Ghost, your success will be limited. And without the Holy Ghost, you don't even understand what success is. What men call success, you also say is success. But when you walk with the Holy Ghost, what men call success is not a success to you. Because it's the Holy Ghost who's measuring your success. You are here, you think, oh, I've arrived. The Holy Ghost says, ah, this place. You are now beginning. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost can carry you out of any incident, accident, anywhere you find yourself. The Holy Ghost, he is a person. I told you last week, the one who brought all the skies into being, garnished the heavens, carrying you, what is the issue? Carrying you alone. He walked with the Israelites. The Bible said they see Saul, the Holy Ghost, with the Israelites. The presence of God. Saw this, the mountains and the sea, saw the presence of God, and they all fled. God is coming, oh, it was the Holy Ghost. The sea fled. The Israelites walked on dry land. By faith, they walked on dry land. On dry land. On dry land. In the sea, on dry, they walked. Who changed the land to dry? Not wetland, dry land. Not muddy land. Say when they were doing like this. No. They were walking, marching like this. The Holy Ghost had changed the whole land quick. The Holy Ghost, in an instant. I always say that, you see, the Holy Ghost says that when you read the scriptures, for we shall not all sleep. Then it says, but in a twinkle of an eye, we shall be changed. Who will do those changes? The Holy Ghost inside of us. At the last time, he will change you like this. Change you. It takes the Holy Ghost for such happenings to take. I said last, it takes the Holy Ghost for supernatural happenings and experience to take place. It takes the Holy Ghost inside of you. So it doesn't matter what they call death. The Holy Ghost can take you out of that accident. When you meditate on this scripture over and over again, you tell yourself, anywhere, whether it's in trotro or in a taxi or in your own private car, wherever you find yourself, you know that you know. When the people beat Paul, they beat Paul. They thought he was dead. When they went, he was still walking. It was that Paul who told us this. He knew this and it was working for him. One day he was beaten by a venomous viper. Death. A poisonous viper. Death was there, but death could not hold him. Why? He shook the viper off. They said, ah, this guy is God, though. He's a God. Why? He had mastered this. There's one thing, knowing the scriptures. Another thing, mastering the scriptures. You master. Oh, Lord Jesus. And that is what the Holy Ghost does inside of us, through insight and revelation. Who has abolished death? The Holy Ghost unveils to you what he's talking about. How Jesus rendered death powerless. The same way he rendered the devil powerless. You say, I have authority over the devil. You say, I have authority over death. The power of this scripture is when the Christian, because of this understanding, decides when to leave this earth. That is the power of this scripture. And what do you call what I said? It is the Christian who decides. It's not sickness that decides when the Christian should leave this earth. You didn't get what I said. It is the Christian who decides when he wants to leave. I'll give you two perfect examples of two great men in the scriptures. It is the Christian who decides. That's what I'm talking about inside. You think, oh, death, it knocks at everybody's door. And there are Christians who talk that when they go to funeral grounds, they forget that they are even Christians. They say, oh, what's safe here? Oh, what's safe here? Death. There's something they say. I can't forget. They said, oh, work it out here, quantum engine. You've not heard it. Why do they say, and most of them are, some are even men of God. But they say, oh, you see, death there is there for everybody. Oh, you don't know where you are coming from. Death is an enemy. Death is an enemy. He says, and he has brought life and immortality to light, to bear. The word to light means for us to see. So he has brought life, the God kind of life, which we have and which we are. The God kind of life. He has brought life. Life is superior to death, just as light is superior to darkness. So he has given us life because he has given us a tool that is superior to death. It's not only that he has given us life, he has made us authority over life. To control life, to rule in life, to be able to put life where there is death. That is why he talks about us quickening our mortal bodies, putting life into your bodies. You put life into your body. Why? He has given you life to control life and put it into your body. You say, body, you have received life. Shout hallelujah. Life and immortality. Immortality is life without death. That means that a life without the experience of death. A life without the experience of death. That great man of God, they said he died. He didn't die. He left them. He said, I'm going. He left. There is one thing living out of suicide. There is another thing living out of sicknesses, out of pain. But there is another thing sitting down and saying that now I've finished all that I wanted to do. What am I still doing here? I'm going. And begin to make announcement. He said, F.F. Bosworth, when he was about to go, there's this great man of God, made an announcement, called all his friends and relatives, did a party for them, had a party, told them, tomorrow morning, I'm leaving you guys. That is rulership over death. That's master. He said, John Wesley, after he had finished all he wanted to do, he was just lying on the bed singing, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well. Calling all his friends, they were coming to him and saying, I'm finished, oh, I'm going, I'm finished. Archbishop Benson Idahosa, another great man, did a meeting with his elders, told the wife, I'll finish everything. The wife said, no, you go for a retreat and check. Maybe you've not finished, please. He said, oh, I've finished. The wife traveled, called all his elders, told them, oh, I'm leaving. Now I've finished all that I wanted to do. God has told me that I've finished my work. I've finished everything. I have to leave. The elders did not understand what he was saying. He closed his eyes to pray with them. He was gone. They held him like this. The man was gone. We call it authority over death. It means that you are not in pain. You are sick. You don't know what to do. You say, now I want to go. Now I want to. No. No. All the Christians had an accident. All of them died. This is the scripture that can make you not die and make you move out of the accident and come and live in your room. Even demons, devils, people who collect juju, they are even able to yira when there's an accident. They are able to disappear. What president were they talking about? Is it the Togo president or Ayadema? The guy left the plane crash. He was in the office. They said, president is dead. President is dead. When they came, he was sitting in his office watching the news. With all the devils with him. Christians with the Holy Ghost. You teach this thing, they say, oh, this thing. We are playing. We are joking. This is the truth. This is what? So you take the truth. Oh, man. one of the testimonies, one of the guys said, and I took the truth. Shout hallelujah. And immortality to the open. So, can I shock you right now? It is that he has brought life and immortality to the open, to light. It means that life and immortality, they are not hidden. They are not only with God. The life and immortality that are with, you say God is an immortal God. We call the Christian an immortal Christian. Why? Because God has brought his immortality to light. That is why Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life. This authority I received from where? My Father. That same authority he has handed to the church. By this scripture. Insight. Say revelation. So, we say God is an immortal God. We say the Christian is an immortal Christian. It is the life of God that he has transferred to the Christian. Says this is the record. That we have done what? We have received eternal life. This is the testimony. What testimony? The testimony, the witness, the record, the evidence. That we have believed in Christ, that we have received eternal life. This is the record. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has this kind of life. And he has brought immortality to the open. Immortality now is not a hidden something. It has been opened up through the gospel. The gospel has opened up the immortality of God. And the life of God. And we are partakers of that life of God and the immortality of God. So the same way Jesus said, I have authority to lay down my life. He didn't say that, you understand this? I have authority to put my life down. I have authority to take it up again. Authority. But what does the scripture say? It says God raised Jesus out of the dead. How? Through the Holy Ghost. To who? The Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life. And how did he pick it up? To the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost carried him up like this. And that same Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost inside of us. What that tells us means that you can experience immortality through the Holy Ghost. You have received immortality. You have received life. Oh, that's why it says, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it says that same spirit shall give life. Now, it says that same spirit. Jesus said, I have authority over life. People say, oh, we have authority over death. It's true. I say so. But we have authority in life. We have authority over life. To lay down our life and to take it up again. That's what Jesus said. So, the power of this scripture is when we are able to say that, now, I'm going. And then we go. You can go in two ways. You can go with your body. You can go without your body. It doesn't make any difference. Enoch went with his body. Elijah went with his body. Jesus arose. He left. The master himself. How? Through the Holy Ghost. So it depends on which one you want. Maybe you say, oh, I don't want the other one. That one may take me a lot of time. I want to go without my body. Fine. But then, you are making sure that you are not going out of, how should I put it? Out of pain, out of fear, I want to commit suicide. When you understand this truth, when you commit suicide, you'll still be there. They come, they say, he took acid. Yeah? Gave a testimony, Bishop David, he said, there was one of their members who understood something he was teaching about authority over death. He said, dominion over death. He said, the guy went to work. He saw an acid. He thought it was water. He took the acid. Thought it was water. The people said, oh, that is acid. That is acid. He said, he remembered that Papa said that there is dominion over death. When they went 30 minutes time, the guy was still living, working. If it happened for Paul, why won't it happen for the Christian? I've said it over and over. The things that happen in the scriptures that Jesus did and Paul did, the proof that they actually did that is for us to experience and do that today. Else it's just they didn't do it. That is the proof. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did 100 years, 100,000 years, not 2,000, 100,000 years, he can do it today through the Christian by the Holy Ghost. Shout hallelujah. So, life and what? Immortality to bear through the gospel. What a privilege. So, these are the insights the Holy Ghost can give you. Then you know that, as for me, I'm doing this. So I started building, the guy started building. Somebody said, a guy said that, what? They said somebody died. What happened? So he said, my head. As we were rushing him to the hospital, he died on the way. How many of you have heard that? They said, but he's a Christian who sings. Or he's a Christian who he works here. That doesn't make any difference. You can't experience these things by prayer, but you experience these things by knowledge. Prayer is important, but you don't experience this by... There is the role of prayer. There is the role of knowledge, light, the gospel to light. You become master over death. You become master in life. Now, people who are just interested, I'm going to raise the dead. It is not going to raise the dead that makes any difference. It is exercising your dominion over death as a person now. You raise the dead and you die by accident. Now, people who have raised the dead and died by sicknesses. They didn't want to go, but the sickness was so much they had to just leave. You'll tell them, now the way I'm so sick and all the money you people are paying, let me just go. Out of sympathy. Say mercy. But this truth is for all of us. As many as believe in me to work for them. But he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Shout hallelujah. How many have been blessed tonight? Those are insights and revelation. The Holy Ghost unveils to you this life, unveils to you immortality. Paul said, I'm in a betwixt. Paul, he was deciding whether to go or to stay. How many have heard that before? Let me just read it quickly. Let me finish it close. Read it quickly. Immortality to light through the gospel. Philippians chapter 1 verse 23 to 24, NIV, quickly. Philippians chapter 1 verse 23 to 24 and 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 14, quickly. Balagadosh. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 14 and Philippians chapter 1 verse 23 to 24, NIV. Who has it? Quickly. The King James also says about it, we just want the simple NIV. Oh Lord Jesus, Mali Gadagadash, Rebede Goski Palahasa, he has brought life and immortality to light, to bear, to the open, for all men to see. He has brought life and immortality for all men to see. So all men can now see life, they can now see immortality. Where is the life they are seeing? The Christian. The Christian is the life of God on this earth. The more you are looking at the Christian, the more you are looking at life and immortality. Because the Christian is a partaker of the life of God and the immortality of God. So the Christian is, God is an immortal God. The Christian is an immortal Christian. He said, God doesn't die. The Christian too doesn't die. What they call death is sleep. Shout hallelujah. Okay. Quickly. Who is reading over? NIV. Quickly. Philippians chapter 1 verse 23 to 24. I'm torn between the two. It is more necessary for which people? For them. That I remain. Who was talking? When you go home, take your time and read it. How a man can say, make such a statement. It's powerful. Go to 2 Peter quickly and then 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 14. King James, anyone?
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. Uh-huh. Knowing that shortly mm-hmm. I must put off this my tabernacle, mm-hmm. even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me.
Shortly I will do what? Must put off this my tabernacle. Look at how. Shout hallelujah. Are you people here? Look at how he made the statement. Knowing that shortly, I do what? I must put off my tabernacle. He calls his body a tabernacle. It's like this. I must put off my house. My body is the same thing. Knowing that shortly, I must put off. Look at how Peter was talking. Peter. He said that I must put off my tabernacle. Who was putting it off? The devil? Or God? No. He was going to put it off. As Christ has shown him. He said, I'm putting it off. In other words, he was going to leave his body. I'm leaving this body behind. You can take it. I'm going. He had control. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Paul said he was in a betwixt, deciding whether to stay or to go. But he says, when I remain, it will bless you. So let me just remain. He was deciding. Just like Jesus said, I have power to. That was the same thing Paul and Peter were saying. That is what the Christian also say. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shall we please be upstanding? Liga dosh kabala hasai. Bolo kosi. Shall we please be upstanding? I want us to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, I just want you to give glory to Jesus for the word. What you are going to do is that you are going to ask this for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. The Holy Ghost. Let the spirit of wisdom and revelation,
let the spirit of wisdom and revelation
work in me.
Work in me.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Then you are going to pray. It's very important. If you can put your hand on your head.